Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back, listeners, and we begin to pick up where we left off with our interview with David Parsons. As you recall, we were talking about maybe we should break the walls down. That's where we're picking up. The walls have been broken down, and our moderator, Alan Brown, is picking up with a question about steps that we can do to break those walls down and reach out externally. So welcome back as we continue, and Alan leads the discussion from here.
Just to get together in groups and assign streets, and we would walk and go door to door. You might catch them there, you may not. And we were surveying, you know, are you a Christian or not, and so forth, but we could be getting into deeper things with regard to you need help or whatever, and be willing to help.
Right.
That opens up a whole new world.
Well, it does. And you see, you go to the once you get permission from multifamily housing to be there, you go to the multifamily housing manager and say, is anybody here that you know had just a new baby? Yes, down in 3A and 4B. We just got two new babies. Okay, that's two families that need help. They need a meal, maybe once a week for a couple of weeks, just to help them, just to softly show that God loves them and we love them. And then they might need a job. And then they might need boys struggling behind in school. His mama told me he's failing. You know, the manager and her and their staff are sort of the ears. And then you build your own ears. And they tell you about another kid next door. And somebody's bicycle's broke. Well, I can put air in a tire. Well, boy didn't have a ball. The basketball rim out here is broken. We can fix that. And you start to find needs. Or somebody needs a ride. You safely and in a secure way, you think, how can we meet some of these needs with our adults and people? May not be the place you can take teens or children, but adults are always looking for something to do. And so it's a great way to share Jesus and with skin on, you know?
Absolutely.
Very important. I think sometimes I wouldn't say the day of going knocking on doors is gone. I'm not saying that at all. We still do it. But they don't want to know how much what you say about caring until they see how much you care.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I asked the multifamily housing, hey, look, I want to clear with you. I got a guy who's giving me a couch and a chair. Do you know anybody needs a couch? Yes, we had a family lady left something on the stove. It got burned out and it smoked it out and they had to throw it away. They need a couch and chair. Okay, I got one. And I handle it through them sometimes so that I don't have any problem knowing that I gave it to them, but I want the management to be involved in the process. And that keeps all of us involved. And it's very fluid. And they're thankful that we've got somebody doing that for them. And it's a value added. And the people are express appreciation. And when somebody says, hey, Mr. David, aren't you the guy who gave my mama a couch? Yeah, some friends of mine did it too. We did it. So it's got to be some links in the chain. It's not sterile. Like, you want to come to church? Probably not. You know, but you need this, you need that, you need to start building bridges, and you're sharing your faith in the process, and God opens doors.
With our listeners, Three Men for Thee, which is the name of our ministry in this broadcast. This week, we were sitting around waiting for another guest who, some reasons, didn't make it that day. Mm-hmm. We were chatting, and Brother Brown here hit me with a thought that I've been thinking about all week. And it was this. Our generation, if you take 100 years, I was born in 1951. You take 100 years, which would be 2051. Virtually every person in 1951 will be dead in 2051. Virtually everybody. There'll be a few. But not many.
Oh, yeah.
Not many.
Mm-hmm, not many.
So you, every 100 years, it's like you almost have to start again. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at Calvary Baptist Church, our home church. And when we go there on Sundays, I know I do, I look around and I'm looking at all, you know, I like to call them Q-tips, all the white hairs that are sitting around there, all the Q-tips that are there. And I'm looking for younger. Mm-hmm. And it frightens me, mm-hmm. quite frankly, mm-hmm. that I don't see that. So we were expressing our concern. Mm-hmm. Hey, what happens, mm-hmm. not just to Calvary,
everywhere else,
but everything else that's affected by that? Because we're not reaching the young people. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, my story is that I had a friend in the fifth grade who invited me mm-hmm. to church. All right, it was an Easter Sunday. He said, "Don't worry about getting my folks didn't go," mm-hmm. and maybe I told you this story. I can't remember, so. Mm-hmm. But his church had a church bus mm-hmm. that picked you up.
Right.
Now I don't see that around this town very much, and maybe there's some churches out there who are doing it.
Oh, yeah, I see church buses
see
driving around, yeah.
Okay.
But not many.
Yeah. But not many. Now, if you want to get an infusion, because parents, a lot of parents that I know, would just be willing to give their children to you mm-hmm. for a whole Sunday morning just to get a relief, a break from the kids, or just to have something to do that they think is going to improve their children, mm-hmm. they'll gladly put them on that bus and send them to you. Mm-hmm. Now, that is a major impact on the church, and the church has to get ready to do that.
Right.
There's going to be some sacrifice to handle something
mm-hmm.
like that. But the fact is, and I've seen it repeatedly, I've seen guys come out and they say, they'd take a very, very small church and they'd say, by faith, we're going to go out and we're going to find some buses. Mm-hmm. And we're going to start working our community in apartment buildings, mm-hmm. multi-family housing. Mm-hmm. We're going to pick up those kids. And within 5 years, you'll see that church double and sometimes mm-hmm. triple where God is using that. I just feel we're letting a tool, a very important tool. I liked what really touched me was what you were talking about, the practicality of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great to knock on somebody's door, invite them to church.
Right.
That's great. I'm not knocking that.
Right.
But the fact is, you come over to their neighborhood and you set up a place and say, hey, here's some free barbecue. Mm-hmm. Come on over here and chat with us. Let us get to know you. That is where the rubber meets the road.
Well, let me add something. Sure. David, some of our listeners might not really understand what a multi-housing community is.
Yeah.
Could you maybe tell us what is a multi-housing community?
Yeah.
Because I'm looking, you know, out my window right now as we're having this podcast, and I see a huge housing development across mm-hmm. the creek from me. Yeah, that's a multi-housing community. So what really, you know, let's define what that really means.
Well, multi-family housing is normally thought of where you have a high concentration of apartment living or maybe condo, but apartment living, folks living maybe 150 to 200 people living on a piece of property, maybe like one here in Winston-Salem I know of is like 40 acres, and it's like 200 people living there, about 185 buildings, and six people to an apartment, and, you know, I mean, six people to a building, apartment A through E, you know, and F, excuse me. And so that kind of concentration, we have a high concentration of people. Normally it's the same culture. Could be, you know, whether that, not about color, but it's about culture. And it's a place where you're going to have not individual housing where they have their own individual lawnmowers and individual things, responsibility. Somebody cuts the grass, somebody takes care of all the plumbing, somebody takes care of the appliances. Everything's sort of taken care of. A lot of it could be what we refer to in the U.S. as Section 8 housing, where they would get a stipend, they get something from the government because nobody works. So we've got some communities that hardly anybody works. And lack of fathers is tough. And really, a lot of this happened after the World War II. You had a group of men who, and he had some cultures who did not come back home. They went to fight World War II, and that's when it started. And in fact, some cities didn't have youth delinquent officers until 1948, 49. They didn't have it. And so we've got a rampant culture in America of boys and girls, but especially boys that are running loose without any moral compass, without any right and wrong, and without anybody to say, you're not going to do that. And the school system is lax in that area. And it's just one more area. The home is lax. Mom's working or mom's not there. Or they're living with a grandmother. And so it's a real challenge for them to be. So that multifamily house is like living together in a close-knit situation. And it's they don't take care of things sometimes like they might in a regular community. They don't have responsibility. And it's a fertile area for a lot of things. And it's a fertile area for the gospel, too. And getting back to what someone was saying earlier is we find that instead of getting, I did the bus thing for a while, instead of bringing the bus and picking them up and then having to corral them at church and really, you got to keep them separate sometime because they can be sort of loose. They don't have a family environment and father influence. We rather go to them. I think to say come and see is a challenge. I want to put that on their land, put that on their property. We're right here. I say this. The first two letters of the word gospel are go, G-O. So let's go to them. Let's go. You take out a lot of logistics and a lot of challenges when you go right there and do it. It's on their property. They haven't got to leave the property. They haven't got to leave mama. They're right here. They're right up at the apartment. Right next to the soccer field. It's notable. You're not getting kids' hands in the door. You're not getting people left somewhere. We can have a good time there, and we can invest. And we also invest in the mama or family, whoever it might be. We have church on Wednesday lunch. Odd time for some people, but we have a church and lunch right then together, and it's for adults. So we do that because we do the kids club and kids games and kids sharing the gospel all the other times, but we want to have something for the parents. And sometimes in some ministries, we never get to be holistic enough to meet the mom. And that's very important. And she knows who we are. She knows that we took her kid to camp. And we sponsored, 10 boys to go to camp, and they were all the same age. And we took this group here and did that there. And so we're making that investment in the whole situation. And that's the same family that might need furniture, might need food. We give them a hot meal. We have time not just for groceries, but sit down and eat and enjoy it and just get me some community.
Well, David, I've been thinking here. It can be dangerous. I'm a Q-tip, white hair. Most everybody in the room is.
I'm not.
But our class,
we have no hairs too.
But we call it Bible fellowship class. Our Sunday school class is pretty large, and I think there were 79 there Sunday. So, I've been challenging to a degree, and I feel like it needs to be a challenge maybe from you. And you might, I'm speaking for our group right now, but this could go to another church, to another situation that I'm thinking of the listeners out there that say, yeah, I'd like to figure out how to do that and how to get involved with that. And we've got more time than we should in doing things that we really want to do, but are we doing what God wants us to do in our last days? I don't know how long our last days are, but to take it on to the next generation so that that can continue on is what we need to be about while we still have time. So I'm thinking even now with our Sunday school teacher here, we might need to have you there and talk in detail a little about that and have some practical ideas of what our guys and women could do to get the women, and we can get the women involved with regard to mentoring these moms. Right. And, I don't know what that looks like, but if we believe that God wants everybody saved, his whole creation saved, he wants us to be about his business. And so what does that look like? So I'm thinking that we need to have a conversation with you and maybe other churches that are listening and people that are involved with other churches say, yeah, I'd like to get involved with that. So we can multiply this thing.
Right. Well, I agree with that for sure, Alan. And that's what we're trying to do. And that's a big part of ministry is getting different churches to get involved where they can. Everybody can't do everything. Some can cook. Some can bring a meal. Some might can... all can pray. Some can financially support. We put on here pray, give, join, and get in. Some could mentor. Some could teach a financial class. Some could help somebody who's really never had a job, really a man who's 28 and really never had a job. Mm-hmm. How do we train that young man? We're talking to an organization called Jobs for Life, mm-hmm. and what they do is they flip the list. See, most people in North America think, 62% of people in North America think the biggest problem with poverty people is food. The next one is housing. The next one is education. It goes on down the line. And the last one they put on there is you might need a job. But Jobs for Life says flip the list. Mm-hmm. Flip the list. Put job at the top. If you get a man a job and you train him in a job, and he learns his skill set, that he has a purpose, as Rick Warren says, a purpose-driven life. Mm-hmm. He has a purpose in life. Teach him what that is and let him see his traits of what he kind of person he is. And then that job, he'll take care of his family. He'll use his money wisely. He'll get a food. He'll get some, we can give him some counseling on that. He'll get his food. He'll get his housing. And everything sort of fixes itself in a different way because we're trying to keep it going. It's like mm-hmm. trying to keep air in a flat tire. It just won't work. And I have seen in the last 2 years or so, the economy changed where I was giving out a lot of food. And I'm not giving out as much food as I once was. And neither is agencies across Forsyth County. They're not giving out as much as they once were. And they say, yeah, it's a little bit different than it was. Things have changed a little bit. And so that's been interesting to see. And some people who didn't have jobs and never have one now. And they're making some money. And they're learning to do their expenses a little different. This morning, I met with four men who I did not know 4 years ago. Three of them I feel confident are believers. And one, we don't know where he is yet, okay? And so we met at McDonald's. I buy their breakfast. We go through purpose-driven, look at the scripture together, look at the stories he's got, look at what God's word says, and their purpose for life. And we spend about an hour time doing it. We have a good time back and forth talking. They're underlining. They're making marks. And trying to see that they have some vision they can have for what God has for you. You may have never thought you had a purpose in life, but you do. God's word said otherwise. He lets us know. You know, he came to seeking to save the lost, and he came to change us. And so we've got to see that.
This is a good place, David, to tell us how to give to your organization, how to contact you, how about taking the time right now and just tell us about that.
Okay. Well, the name of the organization we're calling locally is Mission Center NC. That's Mission and then Center, C-E-N-T-E-R, N-C, which stands for North Carolina. And we're missionaries to multifamily housing. My phone number is 336-399-7613. Repeat, 336-399-7613. We also have the three items you can look up: website, email, and Facebook account. So the website is www.missioncenternc.org. That's missioncenternc.org.
That's all one word, right?
All one word. Yes, they're all run together. missioncenternc.org. And my email is david@missioncenternc.org. My first name, david@missioncenternc.org. And then we have a Facebook account for those that like Facebook. It's Mission Space Center Space NC. It's Mission Center NC, like you look up a church or name, Mission Center NC. It shows you pictures on there, things we're doing, and things that God's been doing. And it's a good way to get the word out. It works pretty well. It really does. It's not perfect, but it's a part of the process. You know.
What do you need the most right now?
Well, we need volunteers to help. We've got five locations we're working in. There's some things we can't do, either because of maybe finances or because we don't have the people to do it. Okay, and we can't have the volunteers. And we train folks to do things. From my wife gets a lot of things. We run a bingo program, free bingo. And the bingo builds community. You know, community, you got to sit down and talk with people. I think Jesus sat down and talked with them. I think missionaries to other countries. A lot of what we're doing is much like a third world culture. It really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, as I was walking around the other day with a couple of folks, and we were coming up the back of a hill over in a particular community area here, and I said, stop. If you look up that hill with all you can see right now, and this mud and this dirt and this, you would think you were walking a hill in Honduras or Costa Rica. You wouldn't know the difference. She said, exactly right. You wouldn't know the difference. The housing, substandard, and it's right here, close to a place you know. Mm-hmm. You guys know. So opportunities are there. So we need more volunteers. We need to train some volunteers how to do some things so they feel safe and secure. They don't feel like they're pressured or too much out of their comfort zone. Sometimes it's a journey. You know, people come and do this. They say, I want to do that. Being a missionary, you have to be visionary. You have to see things in a visionary way of how God could do something if you had the manpower. You have to stay out there. And some things work great, and some things flat as a flitter. They just don't work, you know. And something I've been dreaming of for a long time was getting a girls' club started. Now, that's pretty odd for a guy who had three boys and my wife who had three boys. And so we thought, well, how are we going to do this? So I mapped it out on paper and prayed about it. We both prayed about it, just didn't have the right person. Need somebody to run it. I didn't need to run it. But our goal was middle school, high school girls. And since we've worked together some, Jack, this has come to fruition. So middle school, high school girls, we call it GAGA. Girls Are Given Acceptance. Girls Are Given Acceptance.
That's clever.
Or Girls Club for Christ, GCX. You know, but GAGA, Girls Are Given Acceptance. So I met this lady one day in two ladies from a church came by and called me and said, we got a mattress and box spring that personally came off one of our beds. We want to give it to you. I said, great, I can use it, you know, no problem. So I said, I'll store it right here. I get a family that says they want it, glad to do it. So I said, I need to take y'all and show you this building. God's given us this big room and look around here a little bit. Have you ever thought about our girls club possibility? And they said, not really. I said, well, I just want to tell you about it. Tell you my heart. Just give me a few minutes and what it would look like. And I said, I can't run it. I can't do it. I need somebody who will help orchestrate it. And then we'll see how it plugs together. Well, the one lady called me back, oddly enough. She said, I have tried to get that off my mind, and God will not let it go away. She said, I don't know how to do it. I don't know if I can do it. But I'm an organizer. I know nothing about girls. I had boys. But she said, especially teenage girls. But she said, I want to see if I can help organize it. I said, well, we need somebody who knows something about the girls. Older women don't know what younger women really like, you know, colors, fashion, whatever it might be, anything like hair, makeup. So we met with another church that has, I know the pastor and the youth pastor, who have a group of girls that are good Christian girls that are growing in their faith, middle school, high school, and they said they would come. So we put two churches together, and Kathy and I sort of managed it a little bit, facilitated it, and they meet now on Sundays over at this apartment complex from 2:00 to 4:00 and have girls club. They've had ladies that we all know come speak. They've had ladies from Salem Pregnancy. They've had people come give their testimony, and it's working on everybody. See, ministry is, it should work on everybody. It shouldn't just be the hearers that need the gospel. The tellers need the gospel, and we need to glorify God. So people need to hear it. We need to tell it coming off our own lips and audibly, and then God needs to be glorified. So when that happens, it's a win-win. So they've had a blessing. They've been doing this since the fall of the year, and it has really been something. There's been a number of times when somebody spoke or gave their testimony that some of the ladies were just moved by the testimony another lady was telling, and it was meant for somebody else. And so, you know, it's just really been great. We've seen these girls come alive, and so we're excited. We invite them every week to come, and they come, and it's been a great time. So it's just on a journey.
Okay.
I got one more thing.
Yes.
Faith. From the time you began hearing God, how has your faith grown? I know it's grown. And how practically would you see somebody else's faith grow if they did some of the same things?
Okay. Well, how has my faith grown? I get a call once in a while from somebody from NAM, and they'll say, we got this guy that wants to do a particular ministry. We want him to talk to you. And you talk to him. I'm like, okay, I will. So I always tell him, he's telling me what do you want to do? Well, I want to work with a certain group of kids, a certain type. It's a real tight box. And I listen to him, and I say, well, let me give you a little hint. Don't write what you want God to do in a matchbox.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit down in that matchbox and try to crimp it and say, God, this is the way it's going to be, because I got to figure it out. Because I got good word and good record right here that God's going to extend your responsibilities and your borders. I said, sit down in a tractor trailer a 57-foot tractor trailer and ride it. And then he let it fill up. Let it fill up. With the, excuse me, let God fill it. Let God change it. God will make it bigger than you ever thought. He will. And I said, it'll leave that matchbox and go to the whole truck. And I have seen that happen. And one thing is that so true is when we see God working in something like that and we see his hand by faith, it's like the next step was more faith than the first step. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, I didn't know you meant this too, God. I didn't know it was going to be these kind of things. I thought it was going to be the way we had written it down. You know, and not that we plan to the detail, but it's sort of amazing how your faith is increased each time. Mm-hmm. And the disciples prayed that. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Mm-hmm. And he does that. And it's amazing from many situations and seeing God work and more stories we could tell how God has opened doors. Mm-hmm. And we've seen people come to Christ. And we're excited. So the faith thing is, a lady called me this summer and she said, we're planning to come up, and we'd already visited with them twice. And they came up and visited us at our church twice on a Sunday, and we took them out all Sunday afternoon and showed them ministry. They were going to bring a big team of like 30 people. She came up again in February with another group, and they looked at it again, make sure they were right. Going to build some, fix some, repair some, have kids' clubs and everything. She called me back on the day of July they were coming up. She says, I just want to call you and tell you it doesn't look good. I said, excuse me? What doesn't look good? She said, we're at a rest area, broke down in South Carolina, and the truck won't start. I don't know. I said, let me tell you something right now. I do know. You get a set of jumper cables, you raise the hood, you jump the truck, jump the bus, and you get back in the bus, and you drive it up here. She said, why? I said, because God has already sent you up here twice to see it. He's not going to change his mind with 30, 40 people in the bus.
Yeah.
Come on up here. You'll be okay. She texted me back a few minutes and said, we're on the way. We had a great time. But you know, sometimes we look for outs, and sometimes a committee at a church will kill it and decide it won't work because we don't have we don't have a milk insurance or something that's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
You know? And so we have to do the right things, but we have to trust him.
Well, David, I really appreciate that explanation of faith. And to our listeners today, whether you're a man or a woman, pray about your faith. Pray about what your mission is. Pray about what your talents are. Pray about how you can use your talents. We will post links and contact information for Mission Center NC on our podcast site. So all you have to do is just click on the guest icon, and you'll get all that information available to you. And I just ask that you be in supplication and prayer as to how you might be led to reach out and help Mission Centers NC in the city of Winston-Salem. And David Parsons, thank you
for
sharing your faith, your work, your walk, your mission in life with us today.
Thank you. Good to be here. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works,
lest anyone should boast. Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do?' Again, the scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, 'Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord.' Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.